Okay, we've been looking at the pastoral epistles. We went through 1 Timothy, now we're going through 2 Timothy, and we're on 2 Timothy 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the recruiter. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Keep your attention on Jesus Christ as risen from the dead and descended from David. This is according to my gospel. I suffer for it to the point of being bound like a criminal, but God's message is not bound. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before God not to fight about words. This is in no way profitable and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. But avoid irreverent empty speech, for this will produce an even greater measure of godlessness, and their word will spread like gangrene. Hymenaeus and Philetus are among them. They have deviated from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and are overturning the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, having this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord must turn away from unrighteousness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver bowls, but also those of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But reject foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they breed quarrels. The Lord's slave must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Perhaps God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth. Then they may come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, having been captured by him to do his will. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to embed this in our mind and help us to use it to make ourselves better servants for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's very interesting, I find it anyway, that they emboldened this little inscription. It's supposed to come about the foundation of everything. The Lord knows those are who are his. Now, the interesting thing about this is, this was said by Paul, and later it is a quote that is attributed to one of the popes, because they were having a war between the Eastern Roman Empire and the Western Roman Empire, and they said, how will we know who's who? And the pope said, well, just kill them all. God knows those who are his. This actually came back up during the Vietnam War. said, you know.
The general said, let's kill them all and God will sort them out.
Kill them all, let God sort them out. Anyway, so as we've said, this is written between 63 and 66. And Timothy was a very close associate of Paul. And he begins by telling them to be strong in grace. Timothy was not strong. He was a very timid person. But he would get strength from the Holy Spirit. I have had this happen. Once again, I've said to people before, I was terrified when they decided I ought to be a pastor. After 35 years of being told I'll never make a pastor. Because I just thought, well, no, I won't. I'll say something wrong, I'll do something wrong, whatever. And the first time I found myself in an actual pastoral situation, there was the Holy Spirit. Just say this, he'll knock me out. Nope, just say it. Okay. Timothy had learned from Paul, and now he was told to teach what he had learned to others, so they can teach it to others, so it can be passed on and on and on and on. And that, I mean, we've got the Bible. Most of the New Testament version of the Bible, actually, is Paul. But we also know that we need to follow what God wants for us. And we need to have people who can teach us doctrine. And Paul started it. Timothy carried it on. Somebody else picked it up. And it just kept going. And that's where we get most of our doctrine from. Once again, it's one of the jokes that people will tell you is it says in the Revelation that there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. And they said, oh, well, that's when all of the theologians were changing their books because they'd gotten it wrong. But in reality, we know that there are people who are foundations of the faith, like Paul, who have maintained order within the church and who have taught. Strangely enough, many of them are Catholic. Now, I say that not because I think there's anything wrong with Catholic precisely, but Baptists and Catholics have feuded, lo, these many centuries. But in the beginning, there were Catholics who, such as Augustine and people like that, who taught things that you just... You have to think about it. It makes your mind open up. And so that's why we have these people. Timothy had learned it from Paul. Now he was teaching others. He was spreading it. And then Paul uses examples of a soldier who always tries to please the person who recruited him, an athlete who tries to compete within the rules, and the farmer who is working, hoping to get a return. And then he gives an example of endurance. He says, stick to the main points of the gospel. See, that's the thing that you do. You go out and you tell people about Jesus. And when they become very mature Christians, then they get into deep doctrine. And that's where you get into the point of disagreements. But even if you get into disagreements, you should never get into arguments. But preaching about Jesus as the Son of David was what got Paul put in jail. Because they were accusing him, the Jews were accusing him of having said, don't follow Moses anymore. You need to follow Jesus. Now, if they took the time to look at what Jesus was saying and compare it to the actual Old Testament, they would have discovered that Jesus wasn't telling them anything different. He was just clarifying. Most of the disagreement was all the crap that they had made up. Jesus just, he got infuriated about the 612 they said on The Chosen. I had heard 608, but at any rate, just 600 and change commandments
that they had made up.
That they had basically made up. And so, and at one point, because of all of those, a man came to Jesus and said, "What is the greatest of all commandments?" Now, usually when somebody asks a question like that, it was a trick. They were trying to pull something and catch Jesus. But Jesus immediately answered it. As a matter of fact, it says he looked at him and he loved him. This guy was sincere. He wanted to know. There's all of these 600 and change commandments.
Which one?
It's near impossible to keep them all. Which one should I be focusing on? And Jesus told him. You know, he said, love God with all your heart, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, the rest of it is irrelevant. Okay? Or comes from it. I mean, you look at the Ten Commandments.
Within
the Ten Commandments all come, the first four are about relationships with God, mm-hmm. and then the last six are about relationships with other people. And it basically tells you how to love God with all your heart, soul, and body, and how to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what they're all about.
They call that simple church. Love God, love people. That's the whole
right.
That's it.
I know.
So he's gotten put in jail for preaching about Jesus as being the Savior. As I've said, I've told you many times, Christianity is just Judaism, a sect of Judaism. We're just the ones that believe that Jesus was the Messiah. There were messianic churches that basically are a part of our little sect of Judaism. They just practice Judaism the way it was traditionally practiced, but the heart of their message, or they're wrong. Most of them do, though, now see that that part wasn't so important. Jesus is what's important. Salvation comes from Jesus. So then he gives a faithful saying. And he says, you know, this is a pattern that Paul uses a lot in these epistles, where he says, this is a faithful and trustworthy saying. We have died with him, so we will live with him. And when we say we've died with him, we didn't physically die. We died to ourselves. We died to sin. And so now we will live eternally with him. If we endure, we will reign. Now, I've had a lot of people who didn't believe that. But it says in the Bible that when Jesus comes back, all the saints are coming with him. When the millennium comes, Jesus will be completely in charge. But the government will be run by the saints that have come back with him. Once again, that's one of those things that people get into arguments about. You can have wonderful discussions about it, but you don't need to argue about it. If we deny him, we get denied. Jesus has said that more than one place, where he said, if you stand up for me, I'll stand up for you and take care of you. But if you deny me, I'm going to deny you to my Father.
Yeah, ouch.
But then it throws in a curve. If we are faithless, he's still faithful, because that's who he is. He is always faithful. And this is the thing that I try to tell people who tell me God will never take me back. Oh, yes, he will. If you're going away from God as fast as you can,
he's
and you stop
right
and turn around, guess what? He's right there. He's been following you the whole freaking time. And then he talks about the marks of a good workman. Remind the people not to argue. Arguing has no purpose. Okay? Now, she's patting me on the leg because I do. Now,
he did a lot of that.
One of the things about this is that if somebody comes up and tells you Jesus is not the Savior, he's not the way, he's not anything, you want to tell them, no, I don't believe that. You want to be as gently as you can. But if they try to actually say, you have to agree with me, you just, now you can argue, no. Okay? I actually got into it with her parents at one time. And my response to all of their guff at the time was, I'm sorry, it's in the book. This is how you get saved. And whether you like it or not, it's like the apostles said, are we going to follow you or are we going to follow God? And so, tell them all to present themselves approved to God. Just come to God and say, here I am. I want to be a good workman. I want to try to do what you want. Help me to do it. That's how you get approved, is by trying to follow God. Not ashamed, but teaching the truth. When somebody comes up and I've had throughout my life, I've had a lot of people make fun of me. You don't really believe that crap, do you? And I said, yes, I do. And then they make fun of you. Okay, whatever. Avoid empty speech that distracts from God. You know, this is the thing that we were talking about before, where they get into these genealogies and histories and all this stuff, and they try to go off on all these wacky doctrines and so on. Salvation is very simple. Very simple. And you need to just stick with it. This will spread, the teaching of the stuff that distracts from God will spread like gangrene, causing a need for amputation. Mm-hmm. And that's when he begins talking about these guys, Philetus and Hymenaeus. So we're going to have to amputate them. Okay? They're hurting the body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has to be removed before it kills you. Nevertheless, God's foundation is strong. And that's what he says many times. Okay, when you get down to the bottom of it, the foundation that I laid is rock solid because it's based on Jesus. And then he says, be a special instrument by cleansing sin out of your body. The actual Greek in this, and the implications in the Greek, are very interesting because it talks about things that are very valuable and things that are not so valuable. But then he says there are those things that are honorable and those that are not so honorable. And one of the things they're talking about is you have these wonderful, honorable things, bowls that you eat out of and dishes and all this, and then they didn't have sanitary systems. And so you have bowls that you go pee in. Kind of dishonorable. Okay? You're probably not going to want to use that for this other stuff. Okay? But by special cleansing, you can turn one of those into an honorable object. Something that can be used. But it takes a lot of cleansing.
I'm still not going to break that
again. Probably not. But at any rate.
Not happening.
And then he says, flee from passions and pursue righteousness. Passions are those things that is our own feelings and thinking, oh, I have to do this to please God. And God's sitting up there going, I didn't say anything about that. You're making this up. And so he says, flee from passions, but pursue righteousness. Righteousness is written down in the Bible. It tells you how to be righteous. And you just study it and follow it. And then he says, don't quarrel, but gently teach. This is the hard part. This is what we've been talking about. Don't get into an argument, but you may have to correct people. You may have to teach them. You may have to say, this is what the Word of God says. Okay? Now, we need to work this out, what you think and what I'm trying to tell you, and just see. If what you're telling me doesn't fit the Word of God, then you may need to make, but you do it gently. And you hope that God will draw them back so that they will come back into the fellowship and they will get nearer to God. So what does this mean to us? First of all, we get strength to do God's will from the Holy Spirit. We very often find ourselves in a position where we don't know what to do. Now, the Holy Spirit works in a lot of weird ways. It's like that song that Pat was telling you. That was what led her to say, I have to go be Mrs. Pastor. I can't still be a vice president of the Gideons because I couldn't be in the Gideons. I was a pastor. And so, basically, this Holy Spirit spoke to Pat and said, this is what I want from you. And she did it. And it went very well. Endure as needed. In other words, you're not out looking to get beat up, but you stand up for the truth, and if somebody opposes you, you just endure and you go through it. But you do that by keeping close to Jesus. When you're at your wit's end, as Pat was talking about helping our friend, you go to Jesus and you just say, Jesus, I'm losing it. This is getting to be too much. I don't know if I can make it through this. I will not make it through this if you don't get me through it. I need you now. You know what? I have been in positions where I just went to God and I said, I need you now, right now, on spot, now. And he has always shown up because he says, okay, you fought the fight, you're losing, but I'm going to get you through this. And be a good workman, telling people about Jesus in spite of anything that may oppose you, in spite of anything that may make you want to stop. Be a good workman. And just keep doing what God tells you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We thank you for this word, this wonderful chapter that leads us in the way we should go, that tells us how we should do what you want and encourages us what will happen when we do that. And we just leave all this in your hands. Help us, Lord, to be the people we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And thanks for coming tonight.